Today's Shir's Masechta, Svachim Daf Ayin Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Ches on Be'ez, six lines from the bottom. In our previous Shir, Rabbi Yehuda had taught us the concept that he says Royin, that in order to make a halachic determination, Royin, we look at what is actually happening. Royin, we look at actually what is happening, and based on that, we're able to, not what happened, what would be under certain circumstances, and based on that, we can make a halachic decision. For many, ask the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Mikvos, Perek Yod Mishnah Vav teaches us, Dli, there's a barrel, a basket that's Tamei Shumalei Roikin, that is full of saliva, Vitvila, and was put into the mikvah, in order to be metara, that it should become tar, kilo tava. The halacha says that it's not considered as if it was properly immersed in the mikvah. Because since the saliva has body to it, it's sort of thick, and it doesn't mix well with water. And therefore, the saliva that's in this dli is prevents that there should be a proper tefillas kalim to make that it's fine. May reglaim, says the Gemara, what about if this dli that we're speaking about was full of urine, which is also a form of water? So even though, says the Gemara, that urine doesn't look like water, even though it doesn't look like water, still, since they have the halachic status of water, once they have the halachic status of water, so when you put it into the mikvah, so everything in that dli, everything that's in that barrel becomes tahor. And in order to understand why and how this works is because there's a concept of hashaka, which also is taught in the Masechta Mikvos, and that is that the water that's in this dli, in this barrel, is mixed together that with the water that's in the mikvah. And that what that creates is that that water is connected. And since it's connected, it's all one. Next case, Malim Mechatis. We know that if somebody becomes Tamei Meis, he has to have Hazos Mechatis, which is a combination of the ashes of the Parah Aduma with Mayim Chayim. If this dli was, and then the person who's Tamei Meis has to have them sprinkled on him on the third and seventh day. If this keli is, and then he goes to the mikvah. If this keli is mixed together with the mechatis, says the Mishnah, add that there's. And the halach is, if the tefillah won't be helpful, unless there's more than 50% of the water that's going to be in the keli, that at sheyirbu hamayim mechatis, then the halach, there's a new halach. So in other words, we find here something most interesting. We have three different halachas. There's halach if it's full of saliva, which is the halach then is that it's not going to be helpful in any way. There's a halacha if it's full of mei reglayim, that then we're fine. And then there's a halacha of mechatos. We have to see how much mechatos we have in here to make this, to determine if it'll be acceptable. There's two ways of learning this. There's a number of ways of learning this halacha. The halacha is that hashaka is not effective only when you don't have that much water. Or the simpler way of learning is that they made special halachas for mechatis, where maybe in other situations hashaka would be effective. Here it will not be. Says the Gemara, to analyze the Mishnah that we just learned. Mat Shamalei, who is the man that has the opinion that we this lay royin, that we learned before that we look at something at what it look, we make believe what it looks like. That means, as we said before, that if the keli is full of mei reglayim, what we just learned is that if it's full of mei reglayim, as long as it's the Rabbi Yehuda says it's treated like it's full of water. Who is the man that follows that opinion? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehudi. It's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and that he said previously that if we had a dali with white wine or milk, the halach is that we look at it as if it was red wine, and then we'll see what the color would be if it was red. V'ktani, now we're learning in this Mishnah, the Sagle Baruba, as long as most of the water that will be in this keli will be mikveh water, and the mechatis and not the roiv of the water, that is sufficient to say that we can rely on the tefillah of the mikveh. And the truth of the matter is that the Mishnah said that nesar yayin b'dam behema or b'dam chai roinos ikulamayim. So we see that even the Rabbanan subscribe to the concept of roiv. So why are we saying specifically it's only Rabbi Yehuda that follows that opinion? So the Shita Mekubetzis answers that in the Mishnah, we apply the concept of Royim by Kachim. But we never heard that the Rabbanan apply the concept of Royim by a mikveh. But Rabbi Yehuda, as we just said, applies the concept of Royim even by a mikveh. And that's why the Gemara assumes that, how do we understand that Mishnah? And also, as I saw the Mefarshim ask, the Gemara could have asked, frankly, a simpler question. The Gemara could have asked there's a steer in the Mishnah. On one hand, the Mishnah by Mechatis is saying roiv, and the other place the Mishnah says that it's fine. But the Gemara asked the question this way. Answers the Gemara Amar by Eloi Kasha. This way we'll understand. The Mishnah that says you need roiv, that follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda himself, which Rabbi Yehuda himself is not so quick to apply the concept of royim. For her, the rabbi, the brisa that says that we look at the concept of royim, the brisa that we had in the previous year, that's his rabbi's opinion. Rabbi Gamliel, the basis of saying it this way, that because we know that Rabbi Yehuda often says in Shas, damim b'minoi, whenever we have two things that are the same, then the halacha is that it's not bottle. But what happens when we have two different types of items, even though they look the same, then we don't say bittel min b'minoi. And that's going to be perhaps the question of this Gemara. Do we say min b'minoi here, or do we not say min b'minoi here? The Tanya, and the Gemara expresses itself further. The Tanya, the Brisa says, If dam of a carbon got mixed up with the dam of an animal which is not carbon, the halach is that it's not bottle. Min b'mina is not bottle, and can be used for zrik sadam. And the same halach we learned by kisei dam. If the dam of a chai of a oif, that has a requirement for kisui dam, got mixed up with the dam of a behema, the halach is, again, since min b'minoi is not bottle, so that dam of the chai v'oif remains independent, and since it remains independent, the halach is, it'll be chayv in kisui dam. The halach furthermore is, ein roik v'atel roik. The halach is that if you have the roik of a zov, the saliva of Azov, which the halacha is the saliva of Azov, is a very serious tumah, got mixed up with the roik of that's tar, the saliva of somebody's tar, that's going to be considered a situation of min b'minoi, that's not bottle, and even though maybe most of the saliva that we have here is not the saliva of somebody that's tamei, the halacha is a stubim matama. And furthermore, that means if the mei reglayim of somebody who's tamei, the halacha is the mei reglayim, the urine of a zov, has the halacha of the urine of a tummy person, if that got mixed up with meiriglayim of a tar person, even though the majority is the meiriglayim of a tar person, but this too is considered a situation of min b'minai, and the halacha is the min b'minai is not the min b'minai is not mevat, is not bottle. So now we see that opinion is, as we just learned, the Rav Gamliel takes a very strict opinion when he speaks about min b'minai, that it never becomes bottle. The halacha is that when we have min b'minai shen b'ato, but min b'ena minai, he'll hold its bottle. However, he takes the opinion that when it's not noticeably different, then the halacha is that it doesn't become bittle, unless you have enough that would make, if it, that makes that discoloration go away. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that we always look at the opinion. He holds that min b'minai, that's not bottle, is not always said. And therefore, in a case of urine, he'll say, we'll use the concept of roin. But Gamliel does not subscribe to that line of thinking. Rav Amar, Rava says, the way to understand the Mishnah and the Braisa, that they should all be able to connect, be consistent, and they're all following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that with a min b'mina, it's not metal. Min b'ena mina, we say roin. Why by mechatis do we not say that? Why by mechatis we said that we follow roiv? And the question is even stronger. The water and the mechatis is min b'minoi. And if the water and the chatis is min b'minoi, the halach is we shouldn't rely on roiv. Says the Gemara, we're speaking about a unique situation. The halach is b'tlisha toicha tar v'gaba tamaskinen. We're speaking about a basket that the inside is tar, but the outside is tamay. Min ha-toira, a keli, is not makabel tuma from liquids that are tamay. Because liquids that became tamei and are rishon l'tuma, a keli cannot be makabel tuma midaraisa from a rishon l'tuma. It can only be makabel tuma from an ava tuma. Chama, however, said that a keli can become tamei from mashkin. Why did the Chazal make this rule that even though midaraisa, the liquid should not have the ability to make a tamei? Chazal said that tamei, for new halacha, because as we said a moment ago, that the mashkin of a zov, the liquids that come out of the body of a zov, roika is his saliva, may raglov is his urine, are of a tama. And we just said that even though a keli cannot be makabel tama from a rishon tama, the roik and the may raglaim of a zov are av a tama, and they are able to be tama keli midiraisa. So that's why Chazal felt the need to make a gzera, that a keli can become tamei from mashkin, which are rishon l'tuma. But there's a difference. What happened? If the tuma only touched the exterior of the keli, only the outside of the keli is tamei, and not the interior. As the Mishnah says, in Masech the Kelim, Perek Chav Hei Mishnah Vav, keli shenet b'machur b'mashkin, if a keli became exposed to tuma from its exterior, Achur of Tamei, the exterior is Tamei, Toichnoi, the inside, Oignoi, Yodav, all the handles, etc., Tahirim. The reason Chazal made this distinction, the Gemara Masech the Bechiras teaches us, because Chazal wanted to show and have a distinction between a Tumma Daraisa and a Tumma Darabanan. And given, as we just said, this is only a Tumma Darabanan, since it's only a Tumma Darabanan, Chazal wanted to say that if it touched only the exterior, it won't affect the interior. And therefore, the halach is that the interior of this keli that we just spoke about did not become tahor. So says, did not become tamei. Says the Gemara, therefore, the Medina, sagle b'koldehu, the halacha, all what should be is that water should come to the outside of the keli that has tumah, and nothing has to come into it. However, Rabbanu de Gazru Bohu, Chazal made a gzera that the interior also should be put into the mikvah, because Chazal were concerned, as we know from many places in Shas, the mechatas were not easy to come by, they were expensive. Chazal were concerned that somebody who's taking this keli with the mechatas inside that became tummy from the outside, he's going to be very, very concerned that the mechatas should not become tummy. And he's going to do whatever he can to prevent from the mikvah water from entering this keli. But even though we're saying that only the exterior has to be taken to the mikvah, not the interior, but what we're concerned was that the person will be careful, won't even make, will avoid the rim of the keli, which if it became tummy from the exterior, being taken to the mikvah. Because of this, Chashash said that we can't allow such a keli to be taken to the mikvah unless the water that's in the keli will be roiv mei mikvah. It won't be roiv mei chatas. The kimadikah rubya, because since most of the water in the keli is going to be mikvah water, Chazal did not require any more. In other words, since this is a gzeiros Chazal, a special gzeiros Chazal, says the Gemara, Chazal were much more lenient with this gzeira, and they said we don't have to think about Royan and all the other concepts that we've spoken about now, Shurim. It's satisfactory that as long as it's not Royv of the water inside is not going to be Mechatos, the concerns go away and we could be lenient. Amarava, says the Gemara, that as we learn these Gemaras, obviously the critical concept that comes up in learning this Gemaras is to say what is going to, is to be, what are going to be the when do we say bittul and when don't we say bittul? Says the Gemara Amar Rava, Amar Rabbanan Betama. There are places that Chazal said that the way we make a decision if something is bittul or not is we is by taste. The Amar Rabbanan Beruba. Certain cases Chazal say we follow Roiv. And certain places, Chazal say, we look at Chazusa, and everything we're learning now is going to be explained in the Gemara. Sometimes we look at what it looks like. It says the Gemara, min b'she'enai minai, if there's a mixture of min and enai minai, so therefore, since these two substances taste differently, so if they taste differently, we know that they are different, and therefore, Deir Halacha is that we follow the Tam. And Rama teaches us. What does that mean? Min, how do we know, or where, how do we determine if we have a situation of Min B'minoi or we have a situation of Min B'she'en Minoi? It's not, he says, that it doesn't really depend making that determination on the taste. The way we determine it is B'she'en. What is this called or what is that called? And if the two things are called the same, it's going to be called min b'minoi. And if they don't have the same name, it's going to be called min b'she'en minoi. The Shach disagrees. And he says, because let's understand, as the Gemara just explained, as the Rishonim just explained the Gemara, why is the halacha, as he explains, different by min b'minoi versus by min b'she'en minoi? He says, because when it's when they have the same taste, there's no way of being able to determine if there's bittul or not, and therefore we have to follow the roi. We can't rely on tama. We can't rely just on tasting it. Does it still have the taste of something that's also in it? So that explains the Shach. If that's why the halacha, as Al Gemara is teaching us, differentiates between min b'minoi and min b'she'en minoi. So we see that what is the driving force? The driving force must be the tam, that they have the same tam or different or not different tam. He says, even though we do find in Masechta Avodah Zarah, when we learned that halach is that yayin nesach, the halach is not is we follow if it has the same shem. So we can't bring a raya from there to other areas in halacha. Why? Because since we know that the halacha treats yayin nesach in such a strict way, we cannot use that as a model for other places in halacha. So again, says the Gemara, mimbish enaminai, when is a bottle but tam, if you don't have the tam of the dover asur. Mimbiminai, when we have this bottle beroiv. The halacha is that this halacha, explain the Rishonim and the Paiskim, that mimbiminai is bottle beroiv, that is the din midderaisa. Midrabanon, mimbiminai, midavalach, if they're both liquidy, you need to have shishim. That the halacha we always know is that we don't rely on min b'minoi on roiv. The halacha is we need shishim. Why do we say that? Because since by min b'ena minoi, we just learned that we follow tam. So Chazal made a gzeira, and normally when do we assume, as that we know very well in halacha, that when is do we consider as if there is a concern of tam versus when do we consider as if there's no problem of tam? Shishim. So since b'min b'she'en aminai da'locha shishim, Chazal extended it to be even in the case of b'minai. Another explanation is that Chazal said that we don't want to rely on roiv alone. What does that mean? That when we know that there's the taste of a dover osa here, even though it's min b'minai, if we can know that there's a taste of Dover Asa here, we have to be machmer. That's why Chazal said that in min b'minoi, even though midraisa, roiv is enough, the halach is we are machmer on shishim. The Rajba takes a different approach. The Rajba says that, and this is a fundamental point that the Rajba makes. He says when we speak about min b'minoi, when we speak about bittel, what bittel does not do, explains the Rajba, is take something that's osur and make it mutter. Or bittel does not have the ability to take some to say that it's to say it's not here. It's what the Torah says. This is what we should do. So if you're not going to have shishim and the isser still remains, that's why Chazal said that we want to be sure that the Dover Asur is completely not in existence, nothing to worry about. The only way we can be confident that that's the way to look at things is when we have Shishim. Min b'minoi, so as we just said, if there's a mixture of min b'minoi, the halacha is roiv. Says the Gemara, however, heicha de'ike chazusa, sometimes the color of something is significant, and for the best example, as the Mishnayis in Masechta Mikvos explain quite extensively, when we have to look, what does the mikvah look like? Does it look like water or does it look like something else? Deir halacha says that we follow we look at Mara. What does the thing we're looking at look like? Says the Gemara. This that we just said, that the Gemara said on Daf Ayin Ches, the Rish Lakish said, Surim Vatun Zeh, that one Isser could overtake the other Isser. Says the Gemara, plead Rebbe Lezer. This is a disagreement with Rebbe Lezer said. That we have two things of mitzvah. And there's a mitzvah to both of them, as we're going to see in a moment. The halach is that since we have two substances that are mitzvah, we eat them together, it's fine. Kach ein asur mevatel zu zu. Therefore, if we have two foods that are osa b'chila, they're not mevatel each other, and even though each one has a different isser, and therefore, according to Belozer, going back to what we learned on Daif Ayin Ches, if we would have a situation that pigel v'noiser were mixed together, there would be a chiv malchus. Even though when we learned that Gemara, we learned that since one is the roiv and one is the miut, the roiv is mevatel the miut, and since we don't know which is which, it would be asra sofik. He doesn't subscribe to this concept. It says, Ask the Gemara, who's the man d'omer that explained that different tastes don't have the ability to overtake each other? Man shamle d'omer a mitzvah mevatel zuzu. Says Gemara Hillel, it's the opinion of Hillel. The Tanya amar lava hil zaken the Torah k'dosha b'zman shebeisim midrashay kaiyim. There was a mitzvah to eat three different foods. Pesach, a kazayas of korn. Pesach, matzah, kazayas of Pesach, matzah, and a kazayas of morah. And when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, all three of them carry a chiv deraisa to eat them. Bezman she'en Beis HaMikdash kayim, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a korban Pesach, the only one of those foods that have still a chiv deraisa is matzah. Even though we still have morah, the iser, the chiv of eating moror in a time when we don't have a carbon Pesach is only midrabanan. And therefore, the Gemara discusses what's the halacha in a time when we don't eat basically, should we eat the matzah moror together or not? So that's the Gemara. Amar alav ahil zakishay karch basachas. He would combine all these foods, Veichlan, and eat them together. Mishum Shanam, because the Pasuk says, Amatzis Umroyer Mechlua. Even though the Pasuk that is stated here is a Pasuk by Pesach Sheni, still explain the Mepharshim that, and there's a Pasuk by Pesach Rishon, Veichlas Abbas Belaila Zet Sliesh, Amatzis Umroyer Mechlua. The Halacha doesn't differentiate regarding this obligation between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. And therefore, the way Hillel ate them was all together, but to fulfill the obligation of Amatzis Umrarim Yechlua. So of course, Tosfos asks obvious question. Why is our Gemara saying that from here we see that Hillel holds that Ein Mitzvah Rav Elazar, Hillel, Ein Mitzvah Vatel Zuzu? Because you see that he ate all these three together. Maybe, as we just said, the Torah teaches us this halacha, that this is the way the korban Pesach should be eaten together with the matzah and the maror. But who says that would be the halacha everywhere else? That so I saw that the Mepharshim explained that if different foods are mevatel each other, then we're not dealing here about specifically a halachic issue. We're speaking about a taste issue. And if there's a din of mitzvahs and vatel zuzu, then we could not make korban Pesach, make Pesach by night, different. Says the Gemara. So we see that Hillel holds, Rav Elazar holds, eim vatel zuzu. As the Rishonim explained, what is the Gemara over there teaching us? That even though Moror has a very sharp, distinct taste, it doesn't take away the matzah Moror, even though the matzah and the korban Pesach. The Tosfos wants to say that if one would eat more than a kazayis of matzah, so therefore, even though the Moror has a strong taste, the halach is, they wouldn't be able to be mevatlet because the quality of matzah would overtake the sharpness of the maror. There's another question that the Mordechai asks. He says, how is it possible to eat them all together? The halacha is, we're talking about a kazayis Pesach, a kazayis matzah, and a kazayis maror. And the Mordechai says that the Gemara Masechta Krisa says that the Beis Habliya cannot hold more than a bayah of food at one time. And the amount of a bayah of food is the amount of two kazaysim. And here we're speaking about eating three kazaysim. So the Mordechai explains that that's only when you're eating a salad. But if the food that you're eating is ground up, it could hold more. And what happens over here is, he says, the mitzvah is fulfilled when it's hanos groina, when it comes to the person's throat. At that point, the food already was ground up by chewing. And since at that point, the food was already ground up by chewing, the halacha is that it could hold even more than two kazaysim. But because of this question, the Rambam, his opinion is that the Rambam doesn't say that they ate Pesach, matzah, and maror all together. He says they just ate matzah and maror together, which is only a kazayis. There's a question how to learn the Rambam. Some explain that the Rambam is following the opinion of Hillel, but because he had the question that the Mordechai had, he took out Pesach. And others say, the Rambam doesn't hold like Hillel, and therefore he didn't include the matzah. We learned it's based on the pasuk of a matzah shemura yichlua. So some explain that al could be defined im. Now, a matzah shemura yichlua, it should be eaten im. They should be eaten all together, and that's how Hillel came to learn that's the way to eat it. I saw that the Sefer Imre Yehuda says that the Gemara has a very interesting way of explaining this. Amrulav al Hillel Zaken. Why does the Gemara use that language? Shouldn't the Gemara have said, Hillel Zaken, how you karchen? Hillel Zaken, combine all these foods. Says the Sefer Imre Yehuda, the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Brachos that Hillel Zaken was once traveling and he heard crying from the city. And he said, Muftachani, I'm confident Shenza B'toch Beisai. How did Hillel know for certain that that wasn't coming from his home? So he explains that Hillel had taught his family to live with Amunah. He taught his family to live with the concept, the Kol Mad of Rachmana L'Toiv Avid. Whatever happens is good. He never was upset. So if he heard screaming from his house, he knew it can't be from my house, because my house, nobody cries. And my house, people accept whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. What is the lesson of putting the matzah and Pesach and the maror together? If we think about it, Pesach and matzah are the opposites. Pesach represents the gula, the yeshua of Klal Yisrael. Matzah is the lechem oini, maror is certainly the lechem oini. What the Gemara says, Amar lav al Hillel Zaken, what eating the Pesach Matzah Maror, which really represent such different experiences of Klal Yisrael, but in Hillel's mind, all those different experiences are really all the same. Why are they all the same? Because whether we're suffering Chas V'Shalom, we should never suffer, or whether we're having Yeshua, which we should always have, then Hillel was teaching us that they're all yachad. They're all the same. They all come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and whatever happens is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that it should happen, and we accept it under all circumstances. And in fact, I saw another sefer that explains that the Gemara teaches us regarding Rav Shimon ben Yochai and Rav Pinchas ben Yoir, who was the son-in-law of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. And he meets Rav Shimon ben Yochai after Rav Shimon ben Yochai comes out of the mara in which the cave where he had heard hidden, and his body was full of boils and cracks, and he was suffering. And Rav Pinchas ben Yoir was sad and sorry to see his father in such a situation. And Rav Shimon ben Yochai says to him, he says, "Oily, I feel so bad that I see you this way." And Rav Shimon ben Yochai's reaction was, "Ashrecha shirisani b'kach. You should be happy to see me this way. Shlomoli l'risina b'kach. Had you not seen me this way, then I would have never become the Rav Shimon ben Yochai that I was." And the Gemara explains, because originally, when Rav Shimon ben Yochai would ask Rav Pinchas ben Yoir a question, Rav Pinchas ben Yoir would give him 12 answers. And when Rav Pinchas ben Yoir would ask Rav Shimon ben Yochai a question, he would give him 24 answers. What happened here was that because Rav Shimon ben Yochai spent all those years in Tzoris, what happened was he became a great Talmud Chacham, as the Gemara teaches us that Eliyahu Navi would come and learn Torah with Rav Shimon ben Yochai and Rabbi Elazar. And that's why he was able ultimately to answer the questions in such a stronger way. And that's what the Gemara says, Ashrecha. It's great. Sometimes we think that the tsaros that we suffer, the tsaros that we suffer are bad. But we don't realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu, Berachmav HaMerubim, Bechazda HaYagodl, is teaching us that there's that those Yisurim will make us greater. And as I saw the Sefer Kol Yehuda explains, the Maror is the representation of the tzoris that Klal Yisrael had in Mitzrayim. If not for the Maror, if not for those tzoris, we would have never had a gula, particularly according to the Pshatim, that Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim early because the years that they saw the Kishi Ashibud, because they suffered so terribly, that gave them a quicker gula. The Maror is the gula. The Rabban says that in every golus, there's really gula. And that's why Hillel saw the need to karchem yachad, teach them together. Tana Rabbanan teaches us the Gemara Charsan. We have an earthenware that is a urinal that's made from Mei Reglayim of Zava Zava that we learned early in the Shir, that the Mei Reglayim of Zava and Zava are Tamei with a Tumas Ava Tuma. And we have this urinal that absorbed that urine. Pam Rishon, if he wants to wash them. Pam Rishon Visheni, if you wash it once or twice, the halacha is that it's Tamei. Shlishi, if you wash them three times, then they're tar. The Tver Yisrael says that even though the mission, the Brice is speaking about a charson, which is speaking about a broken urinal, as far as the halacha that we're seeing here, it doesn't make a difference if it's a broken urinal or not a broken urinal. The halacha is the same. The reason the Brice chose to speak about a broken urinal, because very often when we speak about Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara, there's a difference in the halacha between something that's broken and not broken. The Gemara wants to teach us, as far as the concern that we had over here, that it absorbed the Mei Reglayim, and how will we get the Mei Reglayim out, doesn't make a difference. The fact that it's broken has no difference in halacha. Pam Rishon V'Sheni, Tamei Shlishi Tahara, says the Gemara. B'madvar Amurim, says the Braisa, when is this halacha? If you washed it with water three times. If you didn't put water, rather you used urine. Urine of a person that's tahor, afila siri, even if you used it 10 times, tamei. Because then it's mei reglayim, and that's min b'minoi. And as we've been learning in our shiur so quite extensively, min b'minoi is never bottled. Even if it's not regular water, even if it's Mei Reglayim, if you used it three times, it will be enough to make it tahor. Ask the Gemara. Man Shamet Lei, as we've been learning in our Shurim, Man Shamet Lei D'Amar Min B'Mino Le Bottle. Who is the man D'Amar that holds the Min B'Mino never becomes bottle? Rabbi Yehuda. As we said, Rabbi Yehuda taught us in our Mishnah on Daf Ein Ches, Amar Aleph, Ein Dam Vatl Dam. So if the Tan in this Braisa says that Min B'Mino is not bottle, that the urine, the Meriglayim, is not considered a way of getting this urinal tar, it's obviously the opinion of Yehuda. For Minu, ask the Gemara, there's a Braisa that teaches us about Pishton, linen, Shetavus Anida. And in order to be able to work with this linen, it has to be moist. So a person will take out the saliva from their mouth to moisten whatever linen they're working. And even though that's why it's tamei. If it's dry, hemesitoi, if somebody now moves it, tar. The halacha is that roik, that saliva could only be is only metama while it's moist. Now that's dried, it's not matam anymore. However, mahaya lach, if it's still moist, mesitoi, and now somebody moves it, so it's moving the roik of azov, and he's tamim mishamash kapia. Af, even after it got dried, haroitfoi b'mayim, and somebody gets it moist, and that's how. If you moisten it up again, you put some water on it, tamei, it reconstitutes the water, the original saliva that was tummy. And here it seems that afilu tuva. But didn't Rabbi Yehuda just teach us? Didn't Rabbi Yehuda just teach us that if you wash it, if you have this urinal that has the mei reglaim that's tummy, but if you wash it, it'll take it out. So why over here, even though it originally had this, why should it be a problem? Answers the Gemara, you can't bring a raya from mei reglaim, which we've been learning can be removed, to the roik, for mei reglaim, which can be removed from roik to roik. Shari roik the karor. It becomes very embedded into the linen, and it has a lot of substance to it. And since it becomes embedded and has a lot of substance to it, it doesn't come out. We learned in the Mishnah, Nisarev Bedam Hapsulim. The Mishnah said there was a machlokus of Tanakam Reb Elezer. If the dam of a carbon got mixed together with dam that's posel or with dam hatamsis, that Tanakam's opinion was, even if the dam that's kosher is derived, you cannot do Zrikas Adam. Reb Elezer's opinion was that you can. Says the Gemara, what is the basis of the machlokus Tanakam Reb Elezer? But my kamifkli, what's the machlokus? The question is, the Chazal see the need to make gzeira in Beis Hamikdash? What is the consideration? As we know, Chazal often see the need to make gzeira. But here, there's going to be a repercussion from that gzeira, because there's going to be kachim, which midaraisa are fine, but are going to become possible because of the gzeira. And the question is, do Chazal make gzeiris under such circumstances, in a situation where there's hefset kachim on the table? Says the Gemara, the Masover, Tanakam's opinion is goizrim. Chazal make gzeir in the Beis HaMikdash in order to make sure that people will not come to do the wrong thing. And therefore, the dam carbon got mixed up with the dam that's posel or with dam tamsis. The halach is, Chazal were concerned that in a case where it's bottle, it should be allowed to be used for Zrik Saddam. The Chazal were concerned that if we're going to allow it to be used in this circumstance, you may come to use it even when it's not bottled. And Reb Elezer says that it's a fair concern, but Chazal don't make gezeiris under such circumstances because the word of a hefsek kachin. Says the Gemara, Repapam and the Kulama, both the Tanakam and Reb Elezer agree, goizrim. That if Chazal see that there's a need to make a gzeira, Chazal will make that gzeira. What is the issue over here? Over here says the Gemara, the question is, could there ever be a situation that there's going to be more dam tamtzis than dam nefesh? Mas of a shriach, it could happen. And since that could happen, in that case, you would not be allowed to do the zrik sadam, because the dam tamtzis is going to be the majority, and we can't use, as we've learned many times, the Dhamma Tamsis for Zrika Saddam. And therefore, they still need to make it could happen. And that's why Xeru was appropriate. Massav Eloi Shkiach, it's unlikely that that's going to happen. And since it's unlikely that's going to happen, therefore Chazal did not see the need to make Xeru. It says, Amar Mishlam Rapapa, according to Rapapa's explanation of the Machloikas of the Chomer Belazahan and the Tami, the Mishnah taught us two separate cases. Nitzar b'dam psulim yishrafach lama, b'dam tamsus yishrafach lama. Why do you say these two halachas separately? Because the way Reb Pop is teaching us is that Reb Lezah said, in the case of the dam tamsus and dam nefesh, I don't see a need to make exer because there's never going to be more dam tamsus by dam nefesh. However, in a case of Nitzar b'dam psulim, where there certainly could be a situation that there's more dam posel than dam kosher, Reb Elezer, according to Reb Papa's understanding of Reb Elezer, would agree that their exer is appropriate. Ela Rav Zvid, that says that the machloikus between Tanakam and Reb Elezer is, do we make exera even though the cost will be hefset kachim or not? So that applies to both cases equally. And since that applies to both cases equally. So why did the Mishnah choose to teach us them separately? Levinu v'lesninu. We should have taught it as one halacha, that Rebbe Elazar holds we don't make gzeiros, and Rebbe Rabbanan hold we do make a gzeira. Indeed, says the Gemara Kasha, that's a fair question.